Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast, home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's a hard time. We had a hard time together. Together. Yes, it's a hard time. We had a hard time together.
Tanner Stewart, Jameson Wellborn, thank you for joining me on the Enlightened Cannabus at the Emerald Cup.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is a great bus.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
We have to, you know, keep the noise down, so we literally are hotboxing this bus right now.
That makes it even better to be
here. So I'm going to try to keep the conversation going. But you know what? I'm thinking it's all of our responsibility.
It's a team effort.
It's a team sport. Yeah.
So these are two of my Canadian friends visiting. Jameson and I go way back to 420 in Calgary. That was one hell of a party.
We did.
Thank you for that. And I met a lot of really cool people doing some really interesting things in farming. You know, they're not as blessed as we are here in Northern California with the Emerald Triangle. And so they get really experimental and do some interesting things indoors.
Yeah.
Tanner, I would love for you to just kind of walk me through aquaponics and then fish and the plants and all of the interesting things that you're doing that's resulting in amazing cannabis.
Yeah, so we're obviously an indoor grower, as you said. Originally, I actually got introduced to aquaponics about 6 years ago, and it's the marriage of, you know, land-based aquaculture, right, or commercial land-based seafood production and plant production, right? So it's a living ecosystem, essentially. So whereas if you normally have a fish farm by itself, you just have a waste stream, right, coming out in fertilizer and manure. And if you have a hydroponics plant production facility by itself, you have another waste stream because you're blowing out fertilizers. You've got nowhere for that to go, and you're wasting water, right, when these two systems are independent. So aquaponics is the marriage of fish farming and what would be normally seen as, you know, hydroponic plant production, right? So
that was an amazing description. I totally get everything. I'm pacing and
taking that for a test run.
Yeah. You
know, I'll use that one again over and over. So
well done, my friend.
Thanks. And I fell in love with it when I was introduced to it 6 years ago, but that was in food, right? We were doing spinach, kale, arugula, Swiss chard, every herb you've never heard of. I got introduced to the whole like amazing world of good leafy greens, right? And that's what this aquaponic system brought to the table, right? It's really flavorful arugula, spinach, kale, you know, secondary metabolites, terpenes, flavors, essential oils, right? You know, that is found in this living nutrient from the fish farm that it, you know, we need to see if it's equal to living soil on its own or if it's, you know, I've experienced
even better,
you know, immense terpene profiles, you know, out of aquaponics, right? And there's some research papers coming out that will hopefully demonstrate.
Like when you test the numbers, like they're like really high in terpenes, like some of this dry farmed flour.
Yeah, it's a, it's the best of, you know, living soil. You have a living microbiome being fed to these plants all the time from this fish farm, which is...
And what? Hey!
Oh, this way. Oh, sorry, man. I didn't know.
Out.
I left.
That's that okay. That's okay.
So we're going right.
Okay. Well, you were talking. I was trying to do like, you know.
Oh, did I just intercept?
No, you didn't. I was just, you know, we fucked up the rotation. Okay.
Well, God. I know. I just
I think, you know, with the rush to cultivation that's happened in Canada and the booming industry, sustainability has really been put to the side. And I think that, you know, that's something that's going to really come to the forefront quickly when people start understanding how their cannabis is farmed and wanting to know more about why it's farmed in that way and how, you know, waste streams are utilized. And, you know, if they're using a lot of electricity, well, where is that electricity generated? You know, is that a coal electricity or is that hydroelectricity? And, you know, that's one of the big reasons why we chose New Brunswick was, you know, in Atlantic Canada, we have incredible access to cheap hydroelectricity. And that's really the big energy stream that's going to be going into this indoor vertical farm, because we, you know, we have so much lighting and we're going five rows high. You know, it's an immense amount of electricity when we're fully, you know, up and running, but we feel good about how that electricity is being generated. Mm-hmm. We feel pretty good about the price too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So sustainability, for us, obviously, you know, we're electrical heavy, like Jameson said, no matter what, right? So we mm-hmm. need to kind of deal with that. But yeah. then when you start, you know, digging into all the other sustainable, you know, bullet points and lines of farming, right? Especially when you're, you know, doing any sort of synthetic fertilized farming outdoors, especially right mm-hmm. in the current modern day agriculture, with which is just like this bombardment of, you know, murdering soil. You know, to bring plant production inside like this and be able to control all your energy exactly and know what's in there, and when you're producing your fertilizer on site, you know, we're getting into that more semi-closed loop system. We're reducing waste streams, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can't eliminate them, right? But it's like a journey to try to eliminate
well
them.
And yeah, and your footprint, I mean, this is like your ultimate playground.
I'm blessed. I've been blessed. Yeah, I'm pretty happy. Growing up, for me it was fish, and then into adulthood it was cannabis. So I'm a pretty happy guy.
It's fish and so, cannabis.
Yeah.
Together.
So okay, so let's tell me where the fish go. Like, so this is one of your outputs, one of the crops.
Yeah, so our initial fish market is gonna be the live Asian markets in Boston and New York. So we're doing an organic branded live tilapia to start with, right? So we understand our first input is the organic certified fish feed, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to be very conscious of everything that's in that fish feed and really understand that nutrient profile and, you know, where those inputs come from, which we are and where we want to go with that. But then from there, we're going to put what we hope to be the highest quality living tilapia in a fish market on the market. I mean, I don't know if anybody's heard of organic tilapia. I don't know if that's a thing right now.
Well, but I even think too, like, you know, just like we have a certificate of analysis for our flour, y'all really can provide that for the fish. Yeah. And I have never been to a fish market. I mean, you're always like, well, I am by the ocean, so probably
well, ours are going to be plastic-free fish. Yeah. That's our first guarantee.
And because then, every fish in the ocean, you know, has microplastics in it. Like if you're eating a shrimp that lived in the ocean and you don't remove that entire intestinal line, you're eating microplastics. And, you know, so that's going to be a big thing for us, is, you know, being able to say that and sort of educate
putting
people
a clean
about
protein
what's going on.
Out to people, you know.
Yeah, I think that's great. So y'all have your marketing already for the local markets, like telling people like what they need to be looking for, so they access to yours.
Yeah, I mean, right now, so we're in our go-to-market phase right now. Like we're mothering out our go-to-market plants.
Okay,
we're sifting our genetics,
okay,
right?
Got it.
And we've got our first fish crop kind of up and running.
Put it in drive. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we're stoked. And it's just been a Health Canada process, right, to get here till today. And so we're kind of excited about this runway we have as we move into the market, because we get to take our time. You know, we're down here at the Emerald Cup. This is
hot box in a bus with me.
Yeah.
Things could be worse.
Exactly.
Could be worse.
You know? And, you know, lots of Canadian buses need to be hot boxed. So this is kind of our, you know, informative trips to
understand
what we want to bring to our
markets.
Yeah, we want to bring our
sort
of
where
right?
Canada is going, because, you know, we think California is an accurate reflection of that, and we're going to be entering the market first through the recreational landscape and releasing two lines, one of pre-rolls and one of dried flower. Mm-hmm. We're really excited about the packaging. We're working with a group called N2, so we're going to be infusing tuna cans. So a little bit of a play on the fish.
Yeah. I smell what you're stepping in.
Yeah, rocking what I'm rolling. So, we're really excited about that, and you know, we've been really blessed with some very unique genetics that we're really excited to bring to the market, and you know, we think that the general Canadian consumer's understanding of where cannabis can really go, and you know, what is high quality cannabis and what that experience is like versus a lower quality flower, we don't think is there yet. And we're you know, we want to be on the forefront of educating that market to mature and understand that, you know, this is exactly like wine in a sense that, you know, you can appreciate it to that level because, you know,
giving them some real terpy, like, yeah, punchy in the face, like, beautiful, you
well,
know, strains,
right? When you
teach
somebody to care about something, mm-hmm, then, you know, they feel a little bit more sophisticated as yeah, a consumer, yeah, and then they can have that dialogue and ask those questions of the bud tender who... it's all good stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm, yeah, so, I mean, our go-to-market strategy overall is, you know, pick great genetics. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like step number one.
Yeah.
And then the
flower
organic
out the right
system,
strains.
The living soil does the rest. I mean, the yeah, tilapia do the rest. We just have to implement the system. And it's that, you know, rhizosphere that is really doing all the work.
Yeah.
And we're taking advantage of that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, let nature do what nature do,
exactly,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, so while you're here, do y'all have any objectives? Are y'all like raising capital? Is there anything, you know, this show? I've got a lot of people that listen.
Yeah. Oh, well, absolutely. Well, we are doing a Series B capital raise right now, actually.
Okay.
And that's to push us through to our next, you know, couple phases of innovation. But I mean, overall, you know, we came down here to do this. Actually, we came to engage with breeders, farmers,
cannabis lifestyle guides,
cannabis mm-hmm, lifestyle guides, mm-hmm, cannabis people. You know, like everybody we've talked to here is phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
You know, like every, you know, they're like, oh, what have you dedicated your entire life in cannabis to? You know, and that's like every single person, right? You know,
yes,
we met, there's like, so that's great, you know, and that's really important because we get to hear, you know, about what they're doing and what they're making and what they love and, you know, mm-hmm, what makes it good for them.
Well, and it's knowledge sharing on steroids with this
yeah,
community.
Yeah.
Like people want to help each other.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So, yeah, it feels
that
good.
That whole
to
information
be in
exchange is the fun.
You know,
yeah,
trying to slowly get involved with the regenerative community down here has been, yeah, you know, an objective of ours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're a big fan of the Organic Cannabis Regenerative Conference that Joshua Rutherford and Leighton Morrison put on, and you know, we're, you know, hoping to, you know, support those guys and work with them and get the word out and
right on.
You know,
well, when we leave here, I will take you personally, walk you over and introduce you to some of my favorite regenerative farmers.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, totally. All right. So if people want to learn more about you, see what you're all about, tell me how they can find you.
Yeah, they can find, you know, our website, stewartfarms.life, or on Instagram, at stewartfarms.life, or Facebook.
And that's Stewart, Stewart.
Yeah, Wart, Farms. Yeah.
Okay.
The
well, there's
Scottish version.
There's two ways to spell
yeah,
Stewart,
I know, there's
and
the
only
British.
One play way the... to spell Farms.
Well, that is a great point. Like, what if it was? It could be Firms. I mean, if you had a hard E in there, I guess. But
okay, fair enough. I think we're properly baked. Oh, but let me show you. This is my new festival gear.
Oh,
nice.
Pretty cool.
So this is my just a little, you know, a little nice spare joint
yeah,
when you need it.
Yeah.
We'll do this outside this time.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we'll be civilized about this one.
Yeah, we're going to roll the
but
hot
yeah,
box back a little bit.
But yeah, I got it from Sack & Co. and it was made to be a keychain. And I was like, this is an aggressive keychain.
Yeah.
But I was like, but this would be an amazing festival necklace.
Yeah. No,
so
absolutely.
Anyway,
it's a good
yeah,
call.
Styling with a keychain.
Looks great.
Jazz hands. Thanks for hanging out, guys.
No,
thanks a lot.
So
thanks for having us. It's good to be here.
Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Arnav Gupta. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album Gotta Get Back wherever you're buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out.